by our family and friends that are watching, and even if there's some enemies out there, we welcome you here today to listen to us, and thank you. And we just praise the name of the Lord, and it's exciting day, Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection Sunday. It is not about Easter eggs and rabbits. Has nothing to do with that. It's about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm always excited to talk about Jesus. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus this morning, Lord, and let your anointing be upon the service this morning. Let your anointing be upon the people that are watching this morning. Let them sense your presence and your power. Let your word speak into our hearts and lives and continue to keep us close to you in this hour in which we live, Father. We do not know when you're going to call the church home, but Lord, I believe it's very soon. And Lord, we are making preparation, continued preparation to keep our hearts in tune to you and close to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Hallelujah. So this morning, I'm going to be speaking on what if the resurrection never happened? What if it never happened? So this morning, I'm just going to ask you, if you got your Bibles, how many of you got your Bibles out there? All right. It's still looking good. Still looking good here. But anyway, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, my text for this Sunday, which I'll be reading from. But most of you, if not all, have heard of Harry Houdini. Let me just read this. He died in October of 1926, but his claim to fame was that he was a magician, that he specialized in spectacular escapes. As a matter of fact, he was said to have laughed at locks and sneered at fetters. They said of Harry that he had the flexibility of an eel. He had the lives of a cat. They did all kinds of things to try to incarcerate him. They would seal him in coffins. He would escape. They riveted him into boilers. He escaped. They sewed him up in canvas bags. He escaped. They locked him in a milk can. He escaped. They sealed him in a beer barrel. He escaped. They put him in maximum security prisons, and old Harry somehow got out. But then in October 1926, old man Death laid its hands on Harry Houdini and put him in a grave, and he is yet to escape. As a matter of fact, he told his wife, "If there is any way out, I'll find it. If there be any way out, I'll make a contact with you, and we'll do it on the anniversary of my death." For 10 years, she kept lighting and burning a candle over his portrait. At the end of the 10 years, she turned out the light. Death and Harry, he couldn't escape. He couldn't escape death. Well, Death laid his hands on Jesus as well. And Death thought it won and put Jesus in a tomb. And there was a stone in the opening of that tomb. And the seal of that Roman government was placed upon the tomb. But on the third day, Jesus Christ stirred himself. Did you hear me? On the third day, Jesus Christ stirred himself. He stirred himself. He rose from the sleep of death bodily. Some today, even Jehovah's Witnesses, will tell you that he did not raise bodily. It was his spirit that was raised to life. No, it was his body and his spirit and soul raised from the dead. And Jesus Christ passed through the walls of a rock-hewn tomb. And Jesus Christ is alive today. Can you say amen? He's alive today. That should excite every single one of us here and who are watching by Facebook. But I want to ask you a question. Suppose that he had not happened and he had not risen from the dead. Suppose death still held Jesus like he does Harry Houdini. Then what? What if the resurrection did not happen? Well, the Apostle Paul talks about it in Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 15. It says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" And there's many today that still say that also. "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. So what if the resurrection did not happen? And I'll admit, that's a loaded question. But you know something? The reason I wanted to preach on that today too, many even within the church body, we forget about Resurrection Day. We forget about that hope that we had that Jesus arose from the dead. And so it's important to think about that, that what if the resurrection did not happen? Much like if, say, you were not born. How many remember the movie It's a Wonderful Life? And the angel showed James Stewart what the world would be like in his world if he had never been born. How much different that world, that city would have been. How important that is. But this question, what if the resurrection never happened, should be considered carefully. Because the truth is, an entire faith hinges upon that event. Countless millions of people place their faith in Christ because they believe his resurrection to be true. What would our lives be like if the resurrection never happened? There are many religions out there, and their leaders who have come and gone and died, they're never going to come back from the dead. Only Christianity can claim the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Number one, our message would be powerless. Notice that the Bible says in verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Now that's a bold statement. That word vain there means useless or powerless. It's useless and powerless. If Jesus never arose from the dead, we wouldn't have anything to talk about. We're sitting here. Paul says if the resurrection did not happen, then our message is powerless. What is our message? Our message is that God so loved the world that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to the world. He took our place for what we deserved. He paid the price for your and my sins. And he suffered and he died. He was buried in a borrowed tomb for 3 days, but he rose on the third day by the power of Almighty God. The earth shook, people. The earth shook. Listen to Matthew chapter 27, verses 51 and 53. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. That's Holy Ghost power. That's Holy Ghost power. When Jesus stirred himself in the tomb, the world shook. And look what happened right here. Many came out of their graves. He ascended to heaven and now offers victory over sin through the shedding of his blood on the cross and victory over death through his resurrection. Then our message is powerless if he did not rise from the dead. You see, the purpose of preaching is to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, but without the resurrection, there's really not much good news, is there? What is left if there's no more good news? Bad news. That's all I would have, is bad news. Could you imagine sharing with someone that because of their sins, they would now be separated from God for all eternity in hell? A place full of fire, brimstone, a place where the worm never dies and the fire is not quenched. Then can you imagine that person coming under conviction for their sins and feeling the full weight of the penalty and then have them beg you to tell them what they could do to escape the coming wrath of God? If Christ was not resurrected, then is all we could say is, hey, good luck with that. That's all we could say. What a frightening thing. But our message is not powerless because the resurrection of Jesus Christ did really happen. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. I can say that with faith, knowing. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 8, there were witnesses. People always say, nobody even knew anything about it. But I tell you what, God even documented that. It said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then all of the apostles. And at last of all, Paul said, he was seen of me also, as of the one born of due time." See, in Romans 1:16, it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." It's because of Jesus and the cross and his burial and his resurrection that the gospel becomes a very powerful message. Christians, speak the word of God. I want to encourage you, speak the word of God in your situation of life right now. Whatever you're going through, you need to be in the word of God, and you need to speak the word of God because it's powerful. I just read it to you, Romans 1:15. And then in Hebrews chapter 4:12, "Listen, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and even the intents of the heart." It's powerful. It's powerful. So our message is not powerless. It has resurrection power. Whatever's going on in your life, you've got resurrection power. You've got the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, lives within you and I if you are truly a born-again Christian. There's power in the message of God, and we need to remember that. We need to remember the resurrection power, that we have a powerful message to share with a dying world. Our message is not powerless. It's powerful. And I've seen the preaching of the cross change lives, bring men and women to the point of repentance. I've seen many. I've seen drug addicts released. I've seen drunkards give up the booze. I've seen marriages restored. I've seen prisoners set free from their sin. I've seen hateful people fall in love with Jesus. I have. I've seen those things. I know there's power in the message of God because I cannot do those things. When I've ministered in different areas of the world, within Russia and Ukraine and within the States here, I looked and I stood in front of people as I shared the gospel, and I watched the power of that message, not me, but the power of the message, change people right in the front of my very own eyes. And it's all because of what Jesus did on the cross. And it has the power to change your life as well. Lost person, if you're watching me today, your life can be changed for all eternity by just calling out to the name of Jesus and repenting of your sin. And I want to make that invitation to you if you're a backslidden Christian watching me today. If you're watching me today and you know you're not where you belong with Christ, you need to reach out to him. Call up on him and ask him to forgive you and return and commit your life to him. And watch the power of God. You do not have to backslide. That's a lie of the devil. Have you been changed by the risen Christ? Have you been changed? It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." If your life hasn't become new, you need to question your walk with the Lord. And if you want to see your life become new, then commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and all your sins will go to the past, never to be remembered again. Our faith would be useless. Paul continues in verse 14 of our text, and he says, "And if Christ be not risen, then your faith is also vain." Vain, it's the same word used twice here in that. In other words, what good is faith if Christ hasn't risen from the dead? What good is your faith? If it never really happened, then your faith is useless. If Christ is not risen, then all the myth, there's no need to follow him with your life. There's absolutely no need whatsoever. What good would it do? That is why some today call it a fairy tale. And I've had many people say that to me when I've been out in the world and people would surround you and they would say it's a fairy tale. It's not a fairy tale. You can live any way you want if Christ is not risen from the dead. You can live any way you want, act any way you want, do anything you want, say anything you want, and it doesn't matter at all. And sad to say, there's even Christians that do live that way today. And if you're watching me and you've never committed your life to Christ, there is a day of reckoning. God warns us within His Word. And I want to direct you to the cross through Jesus and His shed blood that can wash your sins away. That is why many are living that way today. Satan and his demons want mankind to believe that. So he can steal, he can kill, and destroy your life for all eternity. And he's been doing it for a lot of centuries, and he knows how to do it well. That's what happened in Judges chapter 21, verse 25. It says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." They didn't have a king. And there's people that think that there is no God, there's no Savior, there's no resurrection. And so they're living any way they want. And it's a dangerous place to be. You see, if the resurrection did not happen, our faith wouldn't matter at all in how we live our lives. I believe that in every one of us, there's a desire to find something or someone we can trust. Someone who, when all seems to be falling apart in our lives, they'll be there for us. That can help us no matter how bad things get in our lives. There's going to be somebody to come alongside us. Illustration, when we buy a product, we want to make sure that we count on it and trust it to work the way it's supposed to work. When you go out and buy a new car, you're looking for reliability. A car that you know would carry you and your family safely for years to come. The company tries to earn your trust by giving you a warranty. The warranty tells you how long and to what extent you can trust them and their product. Some are 3 years, 36,000. Well, others are 5 year, 50,000. Some are 10 year, 100,000 mile warranties. But the problem with these warranties is they eventually run out. You can't trust them, but only for a period of time. Our relationship with others is the same way. When looking for a husband or wife, we look for someone who is trustworthy. Someone we can trust, someone we know who's going to be faithful to us over the years and the course of life. But even in the best relationship, people fail us and they let us down. And I believe that is the heart of every person and is their deepest longing to be able to completely trust someone. Someone who won't lie to them. Someone who won't let you down. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we cannot trust Him with our lives, and we certainly cannot trust Him with our eternity. We could not trust Him to be our deliverer. We could not trust Him to be our helper. We could not trust Him to be our healer, our comforter, our peace, our love, our joy, anything in our life, our future. We could not trust Jesus if He had not risen from the dead. But fortunately for us, Jesus did rise from the dead, and I'm excited about that, to be able to share that to a lost world today. And even to Christians who are downhearted today, Jesus is alive, He's on the throne, and whatever you're going through, He is able to deliver. He's able to keep. Now, we're not filling this church up right now with people, but I tell you what, you stay close to Jesus, keep on living for Jesus, serving Jesus, He's able to keep you as you stay close to Him. Amen? Amen. I can't hear you, but I'm believing you're saying it. Praise the Lord. See, fortunately for us, Jesus did rise from the dead. The resurrection did happen. It's really not fake. It's true. It's not a lie. We can trust Him with our lives and live for Him. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet but not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Because Christ is risen, you can trust Him, people. You can trust Him. Colossians 1:27, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." You can trust Him with your life, your family, your friendships, your finances, and your future. You can put full trust in this Jesus because He arose from the dead. And then our salvation would be pointless. The Bible tells us again, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, for ye are yet in your sins. If the resurrection did not happen, our salvation would be pointless. In fact, if the resurrection did not happen, there would be no such thing as salvation. You see, salvation promises the forgiveness of sin. But the Bible says that if Christ is not risen, we're still in our sin. It's not forgiven. We owe the debt ourselves. That would be a frightening message that I would deliver today. Salvation promises a future, a resurrection one day, and a home forever in heaven. That's the joy of salvation. But if Christ has not been raised from the dead, we can't expect to be raised from the dead either. We can't. 1 Corinthians 15:18 says, "Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." No hope for all eternity. The major part of our salvation is the forgiveness of sins and the promises of resurrection. How exciting to know that we have a future and a hope. And we need to encourage one another with that too. But if Jesus didn't rise again, then we can't experience the salvation at all. Think about it like this. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, we are still guilty of the sin before Almighty God. If we are still guilty of our sin, if we still owe a debt for our sin, then we cannot have fellowship with God at all. Sin separates us from a holy God. If we are still in our sins, then it means that God is holding our sins against us. To have fellowship with God, people, our sins must be forgiven. No resurrection, no forgiveness. Now, someone might say, "I thought Jesus paid for our sins on the cross," and you're right, he did. But listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." There it is right there. But the resurrection is just as important as our salvation. Romans 4:25 says, "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." He needed to arise from the dead for our justification. If he had not rose from the dead, we would not be justified before this holy God. The reason that God raised his son from the dead was twofold. It was to vindicate that Jesus was truly innocent of sin, and to validate our forgiveness as a demonstration that God had received Christ's sacrifice for our sin. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus did that. He paid the debt that you and I could not pay. Aren't you thankful that the resurrection happened? Christ is risen. We have a joyous day. And in your homes today, in this world we're living right now, you don't have to be downtrodden because you're in your home. You got Christ with you. If you are a true born-again Christian, you've got Jesus Christ with you there, and you can speak to him, and you can rejoice and worship within your own home. You don't have to be downtrodden and discouraged and frustrated with what's going out there. We have a hope and a future. Aren't you thankful that the resurrection happened?
Amen.
Christ is risen. And as a result of that, salvation is not pointless. In fact, it's absolutely essential and necessary. It's not pointless. It is the point of life. Lastly, our life would be hopeless. Let's be honest. We want our lives to count for something, to matter, and to make a difference, don't we? That's what people really want, to make your life worth something, to count for something. But if Christ has not been raised from the dead, Paul says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. Most miserable. Why? Because everything we're living for is a lie and it doesn't matter. If Christ has not risen, if the resurrection did not happen, then life is hopeless. And there's multitudes walking around hopeless today. The suicide rate is way up. They become hopeless, and we need to point them to the cross. We need them to point them to Jesus Christ, who died on that cross, was buried, and rose again. Today, he is alive, and we have that hope. And all of the things you do in this life for him, they don't matter at all if he is not risen from the dead. If Christ has not risen, I've wasted my life and living a lie. standing before each of you every Sunday. It would be for nothing if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead. But Christ did rise from the dead. So instead of being pitied, we should be envied, because the life we live does matter. That is why in 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Our life matters so much to God. He saved us, and everything we say, everything we do, how we act, our mannerisms, everything we do within our family, within our jobs, wherever we may be, in our homes, we have a purpose in this life, and God uses our life, and we don't know how that is being used many times. But like I said before, there's somebody listening and there's somebody watching. Whether it's in your home, in your job, or wherever you may be, your life matters if it's put in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And because Christ rose from the dead, we have a glorious reward that is waiting for us in the life to come. Praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. People, we have a reward waiting for us as we are faithful to Him. And God is able to keep. Do you remember that? God is able to keep you and to get you through this circumstance we're living in this world right now. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory." It may seem like a long time, but in God's eyes, this is just a blink. And we have all eternity left. Stay faithful. Don't go back into the world. Don't let the devil lie to your mind. This is a great time. Jesus has risen. I want to close in conclusion with this story. It says, listen to this now, people. Put your orange juice down. Put your cereal bowl away. Listen to this. A woman was diagnosed with a terminal illness and had been given 3 months to live. And as she was getting her things in order, she contacted her pastor and asked him to come to her house to discuss some of her final wishes. She told him which song she wanted to sung at her funeral service, what scripture she would like to read, and what outfit she wanted to be buried in. She requested to be buried with her favorite Bible. And the pastor prepared to leave. The woman suddenly remembered something else. "There's one more thing," she said excitedly. "What's that?" said the pastor. "This is important." The woman said, "I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand." The pastor stood looking at the woman, not knowing quite what to say. The woman explained, "In all my years of attending church socials and potluck dinners, when the dishes of the main course were being cleared, someone would invitably lean over and say, 'Keep your fork.' It was my favorite part of the meal because I knew something better was coming. In like velvety chocolate cake or deep dish apple pie. So when people see me in that casket with a fork in my right hand and they ask, 'What's with the fork?' I want you to tell them, 'Keep your fork. The best is yet to come.'" Isn't that a great story? And we need to remember that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20, 21. "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." Hallelujah. What a great positive message that we have for a dying world right now. People are so discouraged all around us, and we get to have the privilege to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, even with the downhearted Christians who have no really need to be downhearted when you get into the scripture and realize that our Lord, the one we serve, is risen from the dead, and He said He would never leave us nor forsake us. And with that, because of that, we're going to have communion this morning. And if you're at home and you have some crackers and grape juice and you want to join in this morning, we're going to do that. And I'll just give a couple seconds here while people hopefully are preparing at their home. And as we do too, I want you to remember this part of the communion. I want to talk about the healing power of Jesus. It says in His word, He sent His word and He healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Our Lord did that. We need to rebuke the enemy and command the coronavirus to be dried up and gone in the name of Jesus Christ. And I can do that because there's power in the word. There's power in the gospel. And during this time right now, before you partake, I want you to examine yourself. Wherever you're at right now, sitting on your Davenport, maybe laying in bed, whatever you're doing, you need to examine your heart before you partake of communion. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." People, we need to put our faith in the cross. The object of the cross, we need to put our faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who died on that cross, who shed his blood. Anything other than that, we're in danger of what I just read to you, and you need to repent of it. Anything in your life that is sin, you need to have repented of. I'm going to read from the scriptures now, and you can join with me. We're going to take the bread because of his broken body. If you have a cracker or some bread at home, just hold it up right now and crush it between your fingers like Jesus' broken body. That represents our healing, that by Jesus' stripes we are healed. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23-24, "For I've received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let's all partake of our bread. Lord, I thank you for your broken body. I thank you for what you did. And Lord, anyone watching this morning and they have a physical need in their body right now, I pray for them right now, Lord, that the power of your Holy Spirit will move upon them, that by Jesus' stripes that we are and we're healed. We receive that by faith according to your word, Father. And now you can take the drink. Hold it up. Verse 25, 26 of 1 Corinthians 11, it says, "After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Let's all partake. Heavenly Father, again, we come before you and we thank you for the shed blood of Jesus. That blood has the power to wash us and make us white as snow. And Lord, that blood has the power. It has the power to cleanse us from all sin. And we thank you for what you did for us, Lord Jesus, for dying on Calvary's cross, being buried and rising from the dead again. Lord, you've given us a future and a hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we thank you for that, Lord. I bring everybody, Lord, before your throne that is watching this morning. And I ask, Lord, that you would touch their homes by your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would meet all their physical, their spiritual, their mental, their emotional needs of anything, any infirmities, anything they have in their life. I command sicknesses to be gone in the name of Jesus. Cancers be gone. Heart problems be gone. Nerve problems be gone. And I rebuke that spirit of fear. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And Lord, we just thank you again for this opportunity to serve you this day. And we as the body of Christ, those watching today, we pray one for another. And pray that we come back together should Jesus tarry. That we can come together in fellowship. And Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we glorify you in Jesus' name. The Lord bless.